Yeah, I like that.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. So you said yesterday it was growing on you a little bit. A little more today, Hugh, even?
Yeah, I like it. I like this song. I like it a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
What I can't deny is that it kind of gets stuck in your head.
It does get stuck in your head.
I think I found myself the one day like whistling it.
When really?
I was like walking around my apartment.
What? Like, wow.
Yeah. Just doing little cleaning stuff and, you know, and then I was whistling and I was like, ah, crap.
Would you like put it like on your headphones while you're walking around? Like,
I mean,
one of your workout songs?
Let's not get insane. Okay. You want me to work out to this yeah. song? I got to start working out first before I do that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's always the battle.
Can't be on the running playlist if you don't run.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But talking a lot about the Eagles today, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own? Or do you think they've come back to the pack a little bit? I think they've come back to the pack. And that's not being a hater. That's not being negative. That's just being realistic. Mm-hmm. They've lost players on the defensive side of the ball. They lost their offensive coordinator. And I don't think we can just, you know, look at last season and look at the way it ended and say, okay, well, this season, the Eagles are just going to pick up where they left off. They're going to have to go out on the field. They're going to have to prove it again.
Oh, no, and there's no question about that. But I think that when a lot of people talk about being on a tier of their own, we talk about the defense and whether you feel good about that or not. I ask all those people that feel that way, how did you feel about the defense before last year, before you knew what it was going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I am, because the one staple and the one constant on this team, even though they did not start the season well, is the offense. When I look at this team, and this is how I look at it, and I look at the one thing that has the potential to be the most consistent in this situation, it's the offense. Because you're talking about a core group that has been together for at least 3 years, at least three. When you talk about, you know, working together and continuity and all this stuff. Now, the offense coordinators have changed a lot, but I think the core offense is still intact. Now you have to evolve that. You know, we were talking about how the offense has changed and all this other stuff. It's fundamentally the same thing. It's just the concepts might be a little bit different. And what I mean by that is we saw a lot more stemming from this offense last year. And what I mean by stemming, guys moving around. We didn't see that before in the previous offense.
Well, with Petullo, Hugh, I mean, how much does it help that he's been here? Like, obviously hasn't been in this role, mm-hmm. but for 4 years, how much do you think it helps the fact that he's been here and knows what has worked and what has not worked?
You know, it's funny. I remember having the same conversation where it feels like it when Jalen's, was it Coach Johnson was here?
Yeah.
And Jalen went to school with him and knew his family and everything. And I was confident that that situation was going to be, you know, a success. It wasn't. So I'm going to walk a little timid on this one. I think that by having Petullo here, he probably understands a little bit more, okay, what Brian Johnson didn't and is how to get the best out of Jalen. I think that's the most important thing, because to me, this team is going to go as Jalen goes, as it always does, but more so this year than any other, because there's been so much controversy about the quarterback play and what he is or what he isn't. So I feel like in order for this team to have the success that it needs, this offense can't sputter like it did in Brazil. You can have those miscues that you had in the first couple of snaps where the ball got turned over and you put the defense on their heels, and they emerged as the leading force behind this Super Bowl run. You know, and it's funny, because going into last year, I would venture to say that a lot of people felt that the catalyst, the jumping off part for this team would have been the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about A.J. Brown, you're talking about what Saquon could potentially be and all this other stuff. People looked at that offense and was like, okay, this offense is going to score, because even I thought it, 30, 40 points a game. That was not necessarily the case. You know, the defense led the way. I feel like now, especially now, with so much scrutiny over the quarterback and the fact that A.J. has made it clear that the offense has evolved and changed, that those guys are a little bit hungry, and they're going to do everything in their power to, when they do touch the rock, they're going to try to make some things happen.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it works on that side of the ball. I want to know, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own? I don't. I just think they need to prove it again this year. Every year's different in the NFL. We know that, and I think you look at the great teams, Patriots, Chiefs, those teams are the exception, man. Like, that is hard to do, and the Eagles are going to show they're able to do it. 215, or need to be able to show that they're able to do those things. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. You want to get in on our Tri-Day as well. Tri-Day Friday. Bad movies today. Give us a bad movie to try. That is our Tri-Day Friday topic today. In a few minutes, we will get to some interesting reports regarding the Phillies as we lead up this trade deadline. Trade deadline now only 6 days away. So we are getting really close. What will the Phillies do? Some reports coming up in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Brooks in Northeast Philly. What's up, Brooks?
Brooks.
Hello?
Yo, Brooks.
Hey. Hey, guys, what's up? You know what? I'm going to start with this here. How y'all doing? From the 30 to the goal line, Cooper DeJean is going to be in the defense. That means CJ GJ is not going to be getting burnt on the down and outs anymore. Defense is better. Ty Johnson. Subbing in for Davis. That's going to be a problem for defenses. We're not even really talking about that.
Robinson. Yeah,
be better.
Ty Robinson. The fourth round pick?
Yeah, the fourth round
you
pick.
You heard him.
Nebraska.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Right, yeah.
Gonna be a problem.
Yeah. Gonna be better,
ain't
man.
That the white
better.
The white rhino?
Yeah,
like the
yeah,
vanilla gorilla.
Vanilla
like,
gorilla.
Yeah, close. That was close.
Like Carter was talking about him like he's going to be something. And if our Pro Bowl defensive tackle saying he's going to be something, I'm with it.
Yeah, but Brooks, to be honest, though, I remember when the Eagles drafted Broderick Bunkley, and people were talking like
B-Bunk.
He was going to be.
I remember B-Bunk.
People were talking like he was going to be great. And yeah, B-Bunk wasn't a great D-tackle.
How we got a system now? We got to get used to being rich, bro. Like, people that's rich, and, you know, I'm not rich at all, but I can imagine people that's rich don't get tired of waking up and getting on that yacht every morning. I mean, we got to realize, man, we rich, man. We rich in how we got the blueprint. So, and another thing, I think our pass rush is going to be better. Like, we acting like, you remember when we were on Sweat? Oh, he can't get to the quarterback. He always falling. He always this and that. Now, all of a sudden, we lost a Pro Bowl Sweat. Like, I understand that Milton Williams was a good defensive tackle, but he was a rotational guy. Now he got to play every down.
Well, I mean, Milton Williams is a starter, Brooks. I mean, he was a starting defensive tackle on his team. He was good enough to get $100 million in free agency.
Sweat got $100 million, too. What are we talking about?
Well, he got like 79, but still.
Still
okay, that's never having to worry about eating like peanut butter and jelly anymore. So, bro, we got to realize that we are that team.
Tell
and we got the best GM.
I like peanut butter.
Yeah. GM.
But Brooks, I mean, but
what? I'd rather eat steak. Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is, we're going to be the best, man. We're the best.
What are we talking
our
about?
Team is Tom Brady. We may not have peanut a Tom Brady quarterback, but our team is Tom Brady. Meaning that our whole team and our culture, I'll take our whole team and our culture over any team in this league.
And Brooks,
that's what makes us elite.
And I think they're going to be really good, too. But to say that they're unquestionably, you know, the best team, it's going to be a dynasty, that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, man.
I'm not saying that. But to be in the top five, to start in the top five in the league every year, I want that. We deserve that. We've been waiting for this.
Yeah, they have them ranked number two.
I'm 50 years old, and I've been waiting for a GM that's not stupid.
Well, yeah. Well, you definitely have that. You definitely have that, Brooks.
I've been waiting for this, man. I've been waiting for it. We have a backup quarterback that's going to be a starter in this league.
A future. The future. The future. You heard him.
Brooks, what do you have for a Tri-Day Friday movie, man?
Oh, listen. In honor of our exciting whites being the best, that White Chicks movie is crazy, yo. I'm like, yo.
That's not a bad movie, though.
What movie?
White Chicks.
The only funny part, bro, is when he was saying, in the beginning of the movie, he was acting like the Mexican bull singing.
I know what you're talking about.
That was the only part. So I watched the rest of the movie, and I was trying to capture that. Y'all got to do better.
You know what? You might be right, man. I need to go back and look at that one again.
I never saw White Chicks.
You never saw White Chicks?
No.
Hammer Time when they were in the bodega.
Okay.
And they had the hairline. He had to comb his hairline over whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah. I remember he might be right about that. I think at the time it was funny because Terry Crews dancing and all that other stuff, but
is that one of those movies you can't do anymore? I mean, you could probably do that.
No, there are certain movies that you watch. That when you watch them, you're like, okay. And then you ask yourself, could you watch it again?
Right.
You'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
I would probably say that's probably one of them. So that probably qualifies.
Okay. There you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Am I the only one who's kind of like a little off-put by the cockiness of the fan base? I feel like it's just out of control. Like, these are very reasonable things to say. Okay, we're not clearly far and away the number one team in football. Like, this is not controversial stuff. Everybody's just got to calm down a little bit. Not being a hater. It's just not, being
real about the
cockiness
of a fan base, to me, is expected. You know what I mean? That's what fans do.
I think it's earned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And that's why, for the most part, I tell people to live the truth. You're going to – our job is to sit here
– to ask questions.
And yeah, that. And if we're asked for our opinion, we give it. And if it might not jive with somebody else, then we get called haters.
Yeah. Oh, get the hell out of here.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what we do on a day-to-day.
Art was certainly living his truth. I'd love to hear from Art today. I hope Art calls. 215-592-9494 if we want to get in. We'll get back to the Eagles in a minute here, but did want to touch on the Phillies with the trade deadline only 6 days away. I mean, we've talked about this for so long. It's really coming up soon here. And some interesting reports in terms of the Phillies the last couple of days. First, Bob Nightingale talking about the Phillies and linking them to an outfielder who I feel like they've been linked to for like 2 years now.
The Phillies are slowing him. They think he's okay. I can see him mulling more to Phillies. They're not crazy. They made some bad moves. I mean, when they signed Max Kepler, everybody in Minnesota laughed like you're kidding me. He's going to have a terrible season. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked. So they're lukewarm on Luis Robert. And they're right up against the luxury tax, too. Where, you know, they already did it with Dan Robertson. They still want another reliever. So I don't think they want to give up, you know, much at all for any center fielder, let alone Robert. I think they'd rather plug that hole in and get one more bullpen. So they like Robert okay, but not as much as the Mets do.
So that's in regards to Luis Robert. I'd be really leery of Luis Robert. Very streaky. Had a bad year last year. Not having a great year this year. He's hit better as of late. But that's a guy I'm not that enthusiastic about.
I mean, but I think we were talking about this the other day when we called. If push come to shove, we would probably have to make a move. It wouldn't be a bad move to make if that's the only move
this
that we can make as far as giving up any major prospects or whatever.
So, right. Yeah. He's just not a guy for me that really moves the needle that much. The guy that moves the needle for me, and this is a report that made me happy the other day. John Heyman reports the Phillies and Padres among many teams interested in Stephen Kwan. That's the guy I think you need. Like, you need an impact bat. Stephen Kwan, he's not a right-handed power guy, so it's not like he's going to immediately solve all your problems. Not like it's the perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a difference maker, man. Like, you trade for him. You put him in left field. He can be your leadoff hitter. Trey Turner then hits second. Then you have Harper, Schwarber, 3-4. That's the guy I want.
Yeah, that's the guy you're excited about. That's the guy you're excited about. And then you talk about the control that you're going to have if you get him. You're going to have him for a little while. But the question is, how much are you willing to give up for him?
That is the question. And this is the thing. And this is really, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago when we worked together, and we've been talking about it really all month. What it feels more and more about what it's going to come down to with this trade deadline, are the Phillies going to be willing to trade Andrew Painter or not?
Yeah,
that's what it's going to be, man. I mean, yes, you have other good prospects, but if you really want these top names that are out there, the other team's going to want Andrew Painter. Bottom line, he's the best prospect you have. He's one of the best prospects in baseball right now. And want to know, would you trade Andrew Painter for a real piece to impact this lineup? 215-592-9494. I would, and I'd do it for Kwan. I'd consider doing it for a guy like Byron Buxton, but you need to commit to this team. And I know we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, but the more I watch them play and the more I see this rotation and the more I see Bryce Harper, you know, being back to being Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in the midst of what I think is a legitimate, you know, MVP caliber season now, you need to take advantage. You need to go get a piece, Hugh, even if that costs you Andrew Painter. Where do you fall on it?
I don't know if I'm willing to sacrifice my future to go out there and get a piece. I mean, because that's basically what we're talking about. You're talking about going to get a big name to make you feel better.
Make the team better.
Yeah, make the team better. But what are you sacrificing to do that? You're sacrificing your future. I want to make a move that's going to make the team better, but I don't want to put myself in purgatory over the next couple of years, because I think that's what they're weighing this against.
Yeah, and that's a fair opinion. I just don't think that, like, trading guys like that necessarily means that you are throwing away your future. And I'm worried that decisions of the past and things that have happened that have no relevance to now are impacting the Phillies' thinking. And this was John Middleton a few days ago talking to the media and talking about, you know, the dangers of trading top prospects at the deadline.
If you go back to like 9, 10, and 11 for us, when Ruben was the general manager, he did an extraordinary job. You know, got Cliff Lee in 09 at the trade deadline, added Pedro shortly after that. You know, after 09 season, in the offseason, he brought in Roy Halladay, extended him, you know, brought in Roy Oswalt in 10 at the trading deadline, re-signed Cliff, you know, after 10 during the offseason, brought in Hunter Pence. Every move he made, it was an A-plus move. And every player that he brought in performed at a very high level. And we still lost. You know, and not only did we not win the World Series, but we exited every year one round earlier than the year before. And then, but you know, so if you kind of empty the cupboard, you can do everything right and you still don't win. It's a bad call, it's a bad break, you know, a bad bounce of a ball. It's some guy who just gets ridiculously hot and on the other team and beat you. So those things, you have to take that, you have to weigh all that, because we're going to be playing baseball in 5 or 10 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And we want the fans to be excited about the team five or 10 years from now. And that, and to do that, you can't just get trade everybody.
Like, I just don't get, why is what happened 15 years ago factoring in to the decision now? Like,
I wasn't here, TK. I wasn't here. But the Odubel Herrera era?
It was bad era.
Yeah. And I remember people talking about ticket sales and nobody going to the game. Now, if you got a house as nice as that one, and you don't have any visitors, and then all of a sudden you go to having it like sold out all the time, you don't want to go back to not having any visitors.
I agree, but the misnomer about that is like that was not because of the trades the Phillies made during those eras. Like all the guys they traded didn't turn out to be anything. The problem was they didn't develop guys in their farm system. Now, if you're really confident in your organization, mm-hmm. you're really confident in the way you can kind of nurture and develop talent, then you should believe that the guys you trade away, you can replenish. Because that's what killed the Phillies back then. None of the guys they traded in 09, 10, 11 turned out to be anything. They traded Carlos Carrasco as like a mid-rotation starter. Travis d'Arnaud was like a serviceable catcher. Other than that, all the guys flamed out that they traded. So I don't think that should be the thinking. And also with Middleton, you know, he talked about moving guys to the bullpen. And his reference was, oh, well, we might not need bullpen pieces. Because in 2006, the Cardinals moved Adam Wainwright to the bullpen, and that really helped them. Why are we using examples from like 20 years ago for what you're going to do this year? It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, I don't know if that didn't really signal to me that they're not going to make a move. I think the purpose of that statement was to more be like, you know, even if we do make this big move, it doesn't guarantee us winning the World Series.
And
I think he's right.
Why would you say that, though? I mean, I don't think in the position that you're in, you should always have
the
fan base hopeful.
Well, but you don't want to get their hopes up. Like, I think it's a worse look for Middleton if he, I don't know. Do you want the fans? With high expectations comes great disappointment if they don't reach it, right?
The fans are going to be mad either way, though.
Let me ask you this.
Well, that's true.
So when you say the cupboard is bare, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, and I'm going to push all in order to win World Series, mm-hmm. and then you come back and say what you said, what do you think the fan base is thinking about you?
Well, I think what the fan base is thinking is pretty much exactly what your guys' read on it just was, is that what are you trying to soften soften the landing if we don't like that? And I get it. That's not the way that I viewed what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I was pretty firm on the Andrew Painter's off the table thing. But like, I think
on the table. Put him on the table, Kyle. Put him on.
I'm putting him on the table.
Put him on.
Because I won't do it for a closer. I think I'm just like philosophically against trading a guy who could potentially be an ace starter for a guy that's a closer. It's such a year-to-year thing, up and down.
Too.
I wouldn't do that. When you throw a guy out there like Stephen Kwan, who's like an impact bat, and he's still young and controllable, that sweetens the deal a little bit for me, like where he becomes a piece of your team for the next few years, and he has that kind of impact both this year and beyond. That's somebody that I consider it for. So I think in that sense, I'd put him on the table.
And I hope, I really genuinely hope your read is right. I feel like they are softening the blow. Like, I don't think this is, I think this is going to be another kind of uninspiring trade deadline. I don't think they're going to do a lot. I hope I'm wrong, because they need somebody. Like, they need somebody. And again, man, like, I just keep coming back to, you cannot waste this rotation. Like, you cannot waste a year where you have two guys in Wheeler and Sanchez legitimately in the Cy Young race right now.
Like, yeah, I think they kind of feel that way too, but it's what do we have to do in order to put us in position to be successful? Like,
trade Andrew Painter. Trade Andrew Painter. Mm-hmm. Go make the move. Do the deal. Get Stephen Kwan to Philadelphia. 215-592-9494, but want to know, would you trade Andrew Painter if that's the only way the Phillies can significantly upgrade this lineup? I would. Kyle would. Hugh, not ready to put Painter on the table yet. 215-592-9494. You want to get in on the Phillies, you're welcome to, as well as the Eagles. Do you believe this team is still in a tier of their own entering this season? Bad movies for Tri-Day, plus when we get back, a very interesting email that the Eagles sent to season ticket holders, and something we cannot let happen as Philadelphians in this city. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.